Good to see you tonight. We're thankful that you are here. Grateful for the rain and for the dry inside and building that provides that dryness to us and the ability to come together in this capacity to worship together. Good to see you, and I invite your attention. In a moment, we'll come back to our text that Tanner just read for us in Ephesians chapter 5. As we've entitled our lesson from verse 14, Christ will give you light. Perhaps all of us at one time or another have imagined total darkness or been in total darkness, or at least maybe what we thought was total darkness. You've been in a deep cavern or some other place and time where it was so dark that you could almost feel the darkness. Well, imagine the earth totally dark. Not just imagine it, but we believe that's so because the Word of God said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So there was a time when there was complete and utter total darkness of this entire globe. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God spoke light into existence. By speaking it into existence, by creating light, He removed the darkness that was over the face of the deep. He restrained the darkness by dividing the day and the night, by a specified time for darkness and another specified time for light. He called light good. And it continues throughout the Scriptures carrying that figure, that which was light is good, that which is dark carries the connotation of that which is evil, that which is not good. And so, in John said, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You know, the imaginations of men and the construct that they have about God is that God's like we are. And so the gods that men have formed and fashioned carry with them elements of good, but also carry elements of evil. But the true God is complete and utter goodness, and therefore He is complete and utter light. There is no darkness at all in Him. So carrying that figure even further in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, John said Jesus is light. And He is the light that shines in this dark world. Go with me to John chapter 1, where John, introducing Jesus as the Word, he also introduces Him as the light. It says in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it." Now, the word "comprehend" is the idea it did not overwhelm it. It did not conquer it. Darkness did not conquer the light. It did not seize it. It did not overwhelm it. But Christ, in fact, overwhelms the darkness. And so, in verse 9. He says again, that was the true light. He's talking about John being a witness of the true light that was coming into the world. He says, he was not the light. That is, John was not the light, verse 8, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that which was the true light, which gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. So Jesus is the light that created light. He is the light that came into a world that was darkened by sin. And even then, many people didn't see Him as light at all, but just the opposite. Jesus would say in His teaching, I am the light of the world. He that follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Jesus connects light and life, as John does here in John 1, 4 and 5. We understand that without light we could not have life. Our plants would not grow. We would not grow. We need light to survive. And so it is spiritually. We need the light that Jesus gives if we're going to have life at all spiritually. In John 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And again in 1 John 2 and in the 8th verse, John will say, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So Christ, who is light, brings the true light into the world and is shining in the dark world of sin. Jesus, then, is the life-giving light. The life-giving light without whom we remain in the darkness of the world. This was supposed to be my introductory chart, so we'll preach it now. Matthew 4 and verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And I will close with this verse, but that's a prophecy from the Old Testament applied to the regions of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus came preaching, Capernaum and around the regions of Galilee. Living in darkness, a light shined. The light began to shine there and would shine now through the gospel into all the world. Let's talk about Jesus as the light. Let's talk about following Him as the light. It's a simple figure. It's a well-known figure, but we need to remember that we Christians have been called out of darkness. The gospel calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. That's the verbiage that Peter uses, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we have been called by the light to come to the true light that's shining out of the darkness of sin. In fact, there are several different types of darkness described that we've been called out of. We've been called out of ignorance. Called out of ignorance by the light of the gospel of Jesus. Now, Ephesians 5, which is our text, let's go there to begin. Because in verse 11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even expose or reprove them. Well, part of the ignorance that he's talking about is back up in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. When he said, we testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Here's the darkness. Being alienated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Okay, so here is a blind heart filled with ignorance, and the Bible describes that as darkness. It's the darkness of unbelief. And Romans 1:21 says it's foolishness. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Why? Because they did not retain a knowledge of God in the mind. They did not believe the evidence of the presence and power of God. The verse says, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, it's a dark world because there's a lot of foolishness and ignorance in the world. Doesn't have to be, because the light has come, you see. Jesus is shining. His light, His truth is there. But there's a lot of the darkness of ignorance that feeds upon unbelief. Now, these are the people that are running the world. It is. Fools and unbelievers. Now, that's God's terms. We're just reporting what God says about it. All right? He says the foolishness of unbelief is the darkness of ignorance. And people are lost. And it doesn't have to be that way. But here's the problem. Satan is blinding the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. Lest the light of the gospel of Christ shines upon them. Look at specifically his terms there. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He said, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So here's the light. It's in the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. But here's Satan blinding the minds of who? The unbeliever. Keeping them in the darkness of ignorance, in the foolishness of unbelief. Now, isn't that exactly what we've been talking about concerning the parables, Matthew 13? The fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, who said, hearing they will not hear, and seeing they will not perceive. Eyes they have, but they're closed, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn again and I should heal them. You see, the one who's in the darkness of ignorance can change, can come to knowledge of God and be saved. But the heart has to change. And unbelief has to be replaced with faith. And that faith is built upon the truth that gives light. 1 John 1, 6 and 7 goes on to say, once it says God is light and in Him is no darkness, he goes on to say in verse 6 that if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There's a lot of people lying to themselves, and we need to be careful we don't lie to ourselves that we have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness. Because the one who says, I have fellowship with God, but are blinded by the ignorance of unbelief, not following truth, they're in darkness. Today is called Palm Sunday. You know, it's a religious holiday leading up to next week, Easter, the big holiday, religiously. Well, we read about palms being put before Jesus as He comes into the city. Matthew's account, I think, chapter 21, I think. I might be mistaken, maybe 23. But no religious day like that. A lot of people doing a lot of things religiously, ignorantly. Not by faith, not by truth, but by other things. Not practicing truth, not following the light. Now look at the contrast if we're going to follow light. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Remember, the God of this world is blinding minds. He wants to keep people in darkness. The devil wants to keep people in the darkness of unbelief and lack of understanding. Ignorance means lack of understanding, not knowing. But now in verse 6 of that chapter, he said, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That's Genesis 1, 3. That God. It says, He's the God who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of God. That's obtained in, found in, seen in Christ. The face of Christ there is contrasted with the face of Moses. Because he covered his face because the old covenant was fading away. The brightness of the gospel is seen fully in Jesus. Satan says, don't look at that. He keeps people blinded to the gospel. Kept in darkness. Kept in being lost. But the truth brings light to bear. Now, Christians have been called out of that darkness by the gospel. We've responded, not in unbelief, but through faith. And been brought out of that darkness of mind to the knowledge of the Son of God, given in His gospel, given through His truth, following the light of the world. That's still the call of the gospel. We want to help people be saved. We have to bring them to the light that Jesus gives, that His gospel shines throughout the world. Also, you know, now Ephesians 5 talking about we were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Another darkness of the world is the darkness of immorality. Ephesians 4, let's go back there to verse 19. And you see that it necessarily follows the darkened heart. The mind that's darkened by unbelief and the ignorance of self-will and self-professions of wisdom, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see, a dark mind produces dark living. The mind of unbelief in Romans 1, look how that cascades into all sorts of immoralities, of adulteries and homosexualities and thievery and disobedience, all manner of corruption, because the darkness of the heart leads to a darkness of living, because we live what's in our heart. And so we live in a dark world of sin because hearts have been corrupted through not knowing truth, following sinful error, and leading to sinful living. Not following God's light. Now, we've been called out of that. We're not to live in that darkness. He says, you have not so learned Christ, verse 20. See, there's the change. There's the mind that's enlightened by truth, and there's the life that follows from that enlightenment. A life that is upright before God, holy and righteous, verse 24 says. See, claiming the light is not enough. We're to live in the light and live in the light's love. 1 John 2, look at the point. He said, I give you a new commandment. He says, I write a new commandment. Which thing is true in Him who is in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the light, true light's already shining. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So he claims the light, but he hates his brother. Claiming the light's not enough. We got to live the light and the light's love. He who loves his brother abides in the light. And there's no cause of stumbling for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So there's a Christian, even somebody who claims to be, I'm in the light, but he's hating his brother. Well, what's really happening? Well, he's fallen darkness. The darkness has blinded his eyes. We can't just claim the light. We can't just claim Jesus. We've got to live in the light of Jesus. And the application he makes here and in other places in 1 John is the application of loving your brother as walking in the light, as he says there in that passage. There's also so the gospel calls upon us to be converted from the darkness to the light, delivered from the power of darkness. Look at Acts 26. The preaching of the gospel is about preaching light. When Jesus appeared to Saul and appoints him to be an apostle, he put it this way to him, I'm going to deliver you from the Jews as well as from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So darkness is the power of Satan, light's the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in me. So here's the enlightenment that through the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's shining in the world. And so Paul says in verse 20, I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God and do works befitting repentance. Verse 20 explains what 18 is all about. When you turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, then there's a change of heart. You see, the darkened mind is enlightened with truth, with faith, where once there was faithlessness, and now that bears the fruit of a changed life. doing works befitting the repentance, the changed heart. Conversion, to be called out of darkness into light, that's what conversion is all about. As we're put into the kingdom of God's dear Son, brought out of the kingdom of darkness, when by faith we obey the gospel and then live in that light. We are light in the Lord, Ephesians 5 and 8 said. And so we are the light of the world, Matthew 5. 14 through 16. Jesus is the light of the world, but then he says, I'm the light of the world, but look now, we're sons of light. We too, he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. And so you let your light shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember, light equates to good. God saw the light and it was good. If we follow the word of Jesus, that's the light and that's good. He said, let that light shine. People can see your good works and glorify God. They can be brought out of darkness through the gospel. And you can have an effect and impact on that as you learn and live this new life. Not in the darkness of ignorance. Not in the darkness of immorality. But converted in heart and life to following the light of the world. The gospel of Jesus. It's a simple point. And yet it's profound, because as long as we are in unbelief, we're in darkness, we're in sin, we're headed to hell. The light of God shines in Jesus to bring us out of that destruction into life, where before there is death. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that leads us to the other major point of our study, and that is, when does Christ give you light? Go back to Ephesians 5, to our text. When is it that Christ will shine on us or give us light? Because it says there, we pick up with verse 11. We're actually going to look at all of them. So let's just set it all before us again. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Four things, four answers to when Christ gives us light here. And the first is, He gives us light as we walk as a child of light. He says, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Remember, we followed Him out of the darkness of sin. We became Christians. We were converted. Now He says, walk as children of light. Christ gives us light when we commit ourselves by faith to walk, to live in the light. To follow Jesus. I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And by the way, John 8, 12 follows right after he told the woman who'd been taken in adultery to go and sin no more. He said, I don't condemn you. He shows mercy to her. He was not, he said, but go and sin no more. You see, when we walk in the light, Christ shines on us because we choose to go and sin no more. Not to discount sin, not to minimize sin, but to understand what sin is all about, what it does, what its power is, and that light takes us in the opposite direction. It takes us to goodness rather than to the evil that destroys the soul. And so Christ is going to give us light when we choose to walk in the light. To be children of light, to be sons of light. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 describes us as sons of the light and sons of the day. We're not of the darkness. And so in John 12, 35 and 36, look what it said there. Jesus said, a little while longer, the light is with you. Now, he's been talking about being lifted up and about his death. But he says, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Jesus said, use your opportunity while the light is with you. Now, he's talking about that prior to his death, but now that light shines in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The light is here. We have the light, but we have to decide to trust it as true. We have to decide to live it, to do what he says. Go on in that chapter. And in verse 44, he brings up light again. He cries out and says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. There's our answer. When does Christ give us light? When we don't abide in darkness. When we choose to walk as children of light. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I don't judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I spoke, that I have spoken, will judge him in the last day. Christ came to save from the condemnation of sin. You see, the world was condemned in darkness. Light came to save people in darkness. But now, those in darkness, and we were all there once too, before we believe and obey the gospel, we're to believe, we believed and do His words, and we're going to have to keep on doing that. It's not that we did it in the past and now it's okay for us to live as we please. No, the Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When does Christ shine in our lives? When we walk, when we live in the truth that is the light that Jesus gives us. Practice His Word. Follow Him. And His light shines on you. Another answer is given in verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians 5. And that is when we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Christ is shining on us. Christ is giving us light. Remember it says, as we walk as children of light, we're to bear this fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit that is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what's well-pleasing or what is acceptable to the Lord. Remember in our study of parables, the seed that bears fruit is the Word of God. The Spirit has revealed the Word of God through the apostles and prophets of Jesus. He has spoken. He has convicted the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, guiding them into all truth. They've spoken that truth. So as we follow the Spirit's word, then we are bearing the Spirit's fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness, etc. Self-control. I think the kids have that memorized. You got me beat. I don't have it memorized. Right. I think I left one of them out there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So, the seed, the Word, put in our hearts, light, truth, following that light, abiding in Christ's Word, and His Word in us, we bear fruit. That's when Christ's light is shining on us and in us, by bearing the fruit that the Spirit's Word produces. So we've got to put God's Word in our hearts. Let that Word abide in us to bear its fruit. When will Christ shine on us, give us life? Ephesians 5:11 through 13 says, when we refuse to have fellowship with darkness, when we refuse communion with those things that are sin, that are dark. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. So don't be partakers with them, verse 7 says. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul rhetorically says, what communion does light have with darkness? What sharing does light and darkness have? The answer is none. They don't share. They don't have anything in common. So someone who goes beyond the doctrine of Christ, beyond the light of truth, he doesn't have God. 2 John 9. But whoever, he says, whoever abides in the doctrine, the same has the Father and the Son. So then the application. If anyone comes to you and doesn't receive this doctrine, this teaching, don't receive him into your house or give him greeting. That is, you don't take up with him and participate and encourage him and endorse him in his sin. He says, he who gives him greeting, that is, he gives him endorsement, encouragement, partakes in his evil deed. You become a partaker, a sharer. You have fellowship with darkness instead of fellowship with God in light. So what are we supposed to do? Just be rude? No, not at all. The idea of a greeting in that day was not just a hi, how you doing? It was something much broader, much more elaborate. Come in, let me assist you, and let me send you on your way with encouragement. He says, don't do that with error, with evil, with sin, with darkness. Expose the darkness. How? By living in the light. Remember that Ephesians 5, that's his context. By bearing the good fruit, the light of your life in truth shines and exposes the darkness. But see, if we begin to have communion with and fellowship with the darkness, and we begin accepting it and compromising truth for it, our light goes out. There is no light exposing the darkness. The light itself is extinguished in darkness, which can certainly happen. Now, Ephesians 5 talks about the darkness as being unfruitful and shameful. It's unfruitful because it does not abide in Christ. It's shameful because it's not upright and righteous, just the opposite. Chapter 5, 3 and 4. He says things that are not fitting for saints. Fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, and let it not be named among you as is proper, fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which aren't fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So, if our heart's filled with darkness, it's going to produce dark language, dark conduct. If we want Christ's light to shine on us by doing His Word, then part of that means we're going to refuse to join in with those who are in the darkness and doing those dark things of sin and error. That's because there's no fellowship between light and darkness. The fourth answer, when does Christ give us light, is when we wake up. He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine, or Christ will give you light. Christ will shine on you, depending on your translation. So Christ is going to give us light when we wake up out of our sleep, when we arise from our spiritual death. Right? Now, what does that mean? Well, I think it probably means something like what we see with the prodigal in Luke 15. We've got to come to ourselves. Conviction brings correction. He's finally convicted of his sin. He came to himself. And he said, I'm here in want, in need. My Father's house has abundance. I'll go and plead for mercy to just be a servant in my Father's house. Christ will shine the light, His light on us when we wake up to the reality of sin in our lives and be convicted of that sin to the point of repentance, of correction of that sin. Joel 1:5 says, awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. Wake up, he says, out of your drunkenness. Get sober. Recognize and the reality of what sin is doing. Christ's light will shine if we'll just wake up. If we'll just get serious about the whole business of sin and of walking in the light. Romans, the 13th chapter, expands it even more. It's even more specific. Romans 13 and beginning 11 says, Do this knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I see his figure again. Wake up and then clean up. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly or decently as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness. Not in lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Don't make provision for the flesh. Put on the armor of light. Live decently. Live in the light of morality, God's morality. And Christ's light will shine upon us. And we might also add the same figures applied to careful worship. When we worship. You know, that was a problem there in Corinth. They were corrupting the Lord's Supper. And so he said, because of that, because some of them were not discerning the body of Christ as they should, they weren't remembering his body and blood. It says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We've got to shine the light upon ourselves about how we worship God. If we want Christ to shine on us, it applies to how we worship. Particularly here, he applies it to the Lord's Supper. He says, eat and drink in a worthy manner, remembering his death. Not for wrong motives or wrong conduct, irreverent conduct. So careful worship for waking up spiritually, out of our lethargy, out of our sleep, to be diligent in service to God. And Christ will shine on us. Christ is the light that gives life. The gospel shines in the darkness. Satan trying to destroy, to blind us, and yet 2 Timothy 1:10 says that Christ brought life and immortality to light in the gospel. Life is brought to light in the gospel. And that light will shine on us, dispelling sin and giving eternal life if we will receive the light. And that's where Matthew 4 and 16 applies as we conclude. Because it says there that the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Light has dawned not only in Galilee when Jesus came there and preached, but to the whole world as the gospel has been proclaimed from sea to sea. Around the globe, light shines. But that light and its benefit will only benefit those who receive the light and walk in the light. Follow the light, who is Jesus Christ, who gives us life. Walk in that light and have eternal life. I am the light of the world. He that follows me won't live in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the choice is ours. The gospel call is to come out of darkness, come out of sin, live in the light of Christ and have life. Not just now, but eternally. The world doesn't offer true life. I mean, the world can't offer eternal life. And the world doesn't know about that life until they come to the light of the gospel. And so let's show them that light by the way we live, and let's teach them that light by presenting the gospel to them, teaching them the gospel, and realize there's hope in Christ. There's light that leads to the eternal day. If you're not a Christian, become one. If you are one and haven't been walking in the light, come in repentance. Let's confess that sin. Return to the light of truth, to Jesus, and He will forgive. And God's mercy will be applied. And we urge all who need to come while we stand, while we sing.